If you know anything about the False Claims Act, it's that it can be expensive, even if you didn't intend to overcharge the government. Now the potential fines and penalties have doubled thanks to a new rule from the Justice Department. With this and the other uncertainties of the week, Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And Larry, this one kind of came in under the radar, but the False Claims Act, there's a less exposure to it because of some GSA rules, but there's more exposure cost-wise because of justice.
That's exactly right, Tom. There are lots of ways that the False Claims Act can cost a federal contractor money, whether they're a GSA scheduled contractor or any other type of government contractor. The False Claims Act is the Department of Justice's preferred contract compliance tool. And what happened was, just in the last couple of weeks, the Department of Justice raised the per invoice fine that it can impose on a company that it's doing a False Claims Act investigation on. It used to be that the per invoice fine, the per claim fine of the False Claims Act was capped out at $11,000. Technically, Justice had the ability to increase that fine, but it hadn't done so in a number of years. But now it's increased the fine in a big way. Now it can cost a contractor over $20,000 per invoice if it submits a false claim to the federal government. That's enough to make any company stand up and take notice, Tom. And that's on top of legal fees, treble damages, and other expenses that come your way during a False Claims Act investigation.
And we should also point out that even if you didn't intend to overcharge the government, that idea of intention may not get politicians in trouble, but nevertheless, those claims, those cases are brought, even if it was a clerical or administrative error, correct?
That's exactly right. And in fact, this was a recent Supreme Court ruling that reinforced the idea of implied certification, Tom. And what that means, as you suggest, is that if you're a company and you're submitting an invoice to a federal agency, you are essentially certifying that your company is in compliance with all the terms and conditions of the contract. If it's not, then that's a false claim. And tied in with the new DOJ rule, it's a false claim that can cost your company a lot of money. Let's say that you're kind of in that medium range of government contractors where you are submitting an invoice 100 times a year to a government agency of any type. Look, you're doing that over the course of a five-year period. That's 500 invoices. The new rule says that Department of Justice can come after you for nearly $11 million just in invoice-related fines under the False Claims Act. And again, that's before the real fun of paying your attorneys, expert witnesses, lawyer, treble damage provisions, other things. So this is something that you really need to pay attention to if you're a contractor. You need to make sure that before you bill, you're in compliance with all the terms of your contract.
We're speaking with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And the other uncertainty this week has to do with multiple award schedules and predicting the effective changes that will have on your sales. And you cite an example from office furniture.
That's right, Tom. And I think that, look, we're going to talk about the GSA schedules here as an example of what's happening. But there's really a message here for managers of all types of government contracts. And that message is that the contract vehicle has to be a working document. That means it has to work for you, the agency that manages the contract. It has to work well for your customer agencies, and it has to work well for the contractors. If any one of those three parties isn't being well served by your contract, then that contract isn't going to be worth the time and effort you put into putting the thing in place. Using the example of the GSA schedules, we really see how this resonates. Just a few years ago in office furniture, GSA office furniture schedule sales were $1.7 billion. Last year, only 5 years later, Tom, that number was down 45% to $900 million. What happened? Well, some of the loss can be attributed to reduced market demand. Certainly the government has a smaller physical footprint and has less need for furniture and furniture is kind of a traditional end-of-year buy when there's extra money left over. But at the same time, there hasn't dropped 45%. Where that extra business is gone when it's left the schedules program is it's going through channels like Alaska Native Corporations, going through channels like general contractors, even going through parallel programs that companies have set up to do purchases up to the simplified acquisition threshold. Why did the companies take these extra expenses, Tom? Not because they wanted to, but because the GSA schedule became the low-price, low-cost leader where companies couldn't have a good return on their investment, and they certainly couldn't pay their dealers well, and they've developed other channels as a result of that because they have to stay in business.
So that brings up the question of whether the category management initiative coming out of the White House and GSA will force all of the prices down to that lowest common denominator.
Well, that's exactly right. And this is something that the category management teams need to be aware of. Certainly, everybody's in favor of the government getting a good deal. But, Tom, at some point, the price curve flattens out, and there just isn't any more discount left to give. So when we're talking about leveraging the government's collective buying power through category management, we see some early good positive signs of reduced costs through things like desktop and laptop procurements. That's great, but you can't continue to expect those reductions year over year because at some point you do reach the floor, or very nearly so, and you have to understand that you've succeeded, and success is great. But classify it as a success, go home and go focus on something else. Continuing to expect year-over-year reductions is going to cause contractors to find other ways of doing business because no contractor can consistently sell at a loss and still stay in business. That's not good business for them, and it really isn't good business for the government either. You're not getting the service or the assurances of quality that a government agency really should expect from a quality company.
I mean, federal furniture looks pretty much bland Grand Rapids already, but now you might get that Grand Rapids look in the latest hardwood of cardboard.
Well, I think that's exactly right. I mean, this is kind of what you have, and you have to ask yourself as a federal agency, particularly in this case GSA, look, do I really want to be the people known for pressed cardboard furniture that gives out after 2 years? Yes, my customers' upfront costs were 70% lower than they were 5 years ago, but those costs from 5 years ago were for quality goods that were going to last 20 years. Now we're having to reconduct the buy every other year. There's a cost to that, and you're really not saving anything.
So you get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for, and at some point there has to be an understanding that we've squeezed as much out of this lemon as we're going to get, and any more squeezing is going to drive outcomes that are in no one's best interest.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. As always, thanks so much.
Tom, I appreciate it, and I wish your listeners happy selling.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.